Hello and welcome along once again to the Left Wing Back podcast. Lots to digest on today's programme. We'll be looking back at Carlow Ladies Footballers' magnificent last gasp victory over Fermanagh at the weekend. We'll be chatting to Rachel Sawyer, who has been the star of the show for the Carlow Ladies Footballers over the past number of years. There was a new star emerging in that particular victory, with Maeve O'Neill popping up with the winner. Maeve had played a minor game the day previously, and her late goal ensured Carlow achieved promotion to Division 3. A team longing for success, they'd come so close on previous occasions in league championship fixtures, and now they're going to be playing Division 3 next year and have a league final to look forward to against Limerick in a couple of weeks' time. So we'll be chatting to Rachel Sawyer a little bit later on the programme. Also preparing for a league final a little bit closer to home on this particular Sunday, of course, are the Carlow Senior Hurlers. They take on Laois at 3 o'clock in Netwatch Cullen Park in the Division 2A final. It will be a mouthwatering one indeed. Carlow got the better of Laois in the group stages. Laois then went and won the semi-final of the league against Down, with Carlow having already gone straight through to the final. So that will be a tasty one indeed. So we'll be chatting to Jack about that and, you know, various other different things. We could have went on for ages and ages. We left it at 15 or 16 minutes, but we'll definitely get Jack back on for a longer conversation, maybe in the not too distant future. So look, we're here in association, as always, with our kind supporters and partners. That is the Talbot Hotel in Carlow. The lovely dressing rooms are now open in Talbot Fitness Gym. If you talk nicely to Mark down there, he might look after you with a bit of membership as well. Mention the Left Wing Back podcast, of course, and see what might happen. Curra Sports, Emmett and Shane Moran, looking after all your sports clothing needs. A Carlow supplier and a Carlow seller. So what more could you want? Poitone Motors, located on the O'Brien Road in Carlow. Some of the finest used cars you will get, and commercial vehicles. Also, check out Poitone there on Instagram at Poitone Motors, and obviously the website there as well. Railwheeling Limited, Waste Management Services. They have been the best in the business for quite some time. Murray's Bar in Ballymurphy, as good a point as you'll get in the south of Carlow. And Shane doing great stuff with the Carlow Minor Camogie team, who are in action at the weekend as well. Pat O'Horn Photography, who has supplied photographs for us over the past couple of years and goes out in rail, hail, cedar, snow. Detail Men's are at Carlow. When you want to get togged out, Shane and the boys look after you in there. PFD Travel, obviously, goes without question. MJ Farrell and the gang there will get you from A to B. Whether it's the 52-seater, the 16-seater, the 30-seater, they will not see you stuck. And Earth Spas, if you're after having maybe a stressful day, a stressful week, maybe hit up Burner Mullen. Involved with Earth Spas there. Jump into the jacuzzi. That will get you back on the straight and narrow. So that's our kind partners. If you want to partner with us in any way whatsoever, we've got web advertising only. We've got packages that include podcasts and websites, and we've got social media logos and all that kind of jazz as well. So there's different things available. Hit us up there, info@leftwingback.com. So results at the weekend. The Carlow Minor Hurlers were in action against Kerry. They lost out there in the end. We have a report up on the website with Leo McGough writing that one for us. It's great to have Leo writing some stuff for us there over the past couple of weeks. Meant a lot. Definitely someone I looked up to in terms of coaching, and indeed from a journalism point of view. And to have Leo doing bits and pieces for us is, it's kind of a pinch me moment. So check out that on our website. We've also got reports on the Carlow Ladies Footballers win over Fermanagh. As I said, we'll be talking to Rachel Sawyer very shortly about that one. The Carlow Minor Ladies Footballers beat Kilkenny. Carlow Camogie team losing out narrowly to Meath. And the Minors likewise down in Kerry. A tricky task. They come up short by 3 points, I think it was, in the end. The Carlow Footballers, they finished out their Division 4 campaign against London, winning by 117 to 110. And special mention must go to Shane and Jamie Clark. And we'd like to pass on our condolences to the Clark family. Their grandfather passed away during the week, and the two of them were very prominent, as was Mikey Barmerick, who I think got the KCLR man of the match. And again, we want to pass on our condolences to the Barmerick family also, because a bereavement did happen there in the past 24 hours. So as we said, next weekend we have the league final at 3 o'clock in Netwatch Cullen Park. On Tuesday night at Amore Park at 7:30, this game is live on Clubber. But it's only over the road, sure. You might as well tip over to it if you ran nothing on your Tuesday night. Under 20 Leinster Football Championship, Carlow versus Laois. We want to wish Simon Ray, our good friend, the very best luck. And another great friend of ours is Mick Keogh, of course. His Minor Footballers are in action in Netwatch Cullen Park on Wednesday evening against Wexford at 7:30. Lots to look forward to, lots of fixtures. Check out carlowga.ie. You'll get the results of the football leagues, the Bulger Cups, and every fixture you want to know about and result. Carlow GA website is the one to keep an eye on. So Let's hear from Rachel Sawyer after Carlow's fantastic victory. And immediately after that, we'll be hearing from St Mullins and Carlow hurling stalwart Jack Kavanagh ahead of the league final on Sunday. Turning our attention now to ladies football, and after years of heartache in both league and championship, Carlow ladies footballers yesterday secured promotion at long last to Division 3. One of the key players in the side is Rachel Sawyer, who contributed very handsomely on the scoreboard once again yesterday. And delighted to say that Rachel joins us here now on the podcast. Rachel, firstly, congratulations. And secondly, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on as well.
You must be absolutely thrilled with this.
Yeah, delighted now. Absolutely delighted. It's been a long time coming, getting to something like an All-Ireland final with Carlow. So, I'm absolutely thrilled.
Yeah. From your point of view, right, so you're on the go at adult level, definitely from a Camogie point of view, not so sure about ladies football, but I'm looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, this is year 8/year 9 of adult intercounty for you, be it Camogie, be it ladies football. And how old are you?
I am 24.
Okay, well, that's a long time to be playing and you're still only 24. You have a lot of years ahead of you yet. I mean, You've had some great days, I suppose, in that length of time. You've had some pretty poor ones as well. Does that make yesterday all the sweeter then?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, as you're saying there, I started Camogie in 2016 and then with Carlow football in 2017. So it has been a long time coming. And yeah, I'd like to think I have a few more years in me, but your interior I do, but we'll see. So, definitely. It's very, very sweet to get to an All-Ireland final with Carlow. First time in 7 years playing with them. It's amazing. We've been knocking on the door for so long, so we're absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many, there's none of them easy, right? But really heartbreaking defeats, like close encounters, be it in championship or be it in league. And like, how much do they kind of play a part when it comes to the psyche of yesterday? Or is it just treated as a blank canvas again?
In my head anyway, I'd be treating it as a blank canvas. You'd be trying not to think too much about the past, but it's only when we got over the line yesterday that you realise the relief of having not gotten over the line in previous years. It all makes it worth it and makes you feel like, oh, we deserve that, you know, and we're all happy.
Yeah, and I suppose what you're carrying with that as well, I mean, there's an awful lot of pressure, there's an awful lot of, you know, different types of emotion, I guess. And all that then is released in one moment, I suppose.
Oh, for sure. Like, as soon as that whistle went off at the end, the screams out of everyone, it was immense. Definitely a big release. As you said, yeah, like, I think I've played in 3 All-Ireland semi-finals in championship with Carlow, and each of them were so close. 2 or 3 points. We even drew one and had to go to extra time. So we've been very close for a long time.
Yeah, and how do you keep coming back then? Like, what's the, you know, how do you not get disheartened, I guess? Is it as simple as just days like yesterday? Or, like, I mean, it's easy to say that now, but it was quite close to being very different. But what brings you back in the first place to put yourself in that position where you can experience something like yesterday?
I suppose this year anyways, it was very easy to come back into it because we had been so close in the All-Ireland semi-final last year, and we had the confidence boost of our management team staying on and all the girls who had started the All-Ireland semi-final last year all staying on as well. So it was a very easy decision now to stay on this year. And then in general, I suppose when I was younger, I was just delighted to be playing and I still am as well, delighted to be playing. So it's something you just enjoy doing and I'm so used to doing it now. I love going back to it.
The realisation hits you that it's so difficult to do both codes this year.
I realized that there maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I stopped playing dual 3 seasons ago, so this is my 3rd season now, just committing to one code, just the football, and I am loving it. I love being able to give 100% to one team and to not feel like you're letting down the other team by, you know, getting injured or something silly, and then you're letting down 2 teams. I'm loving giving all to the one, and it's not easy to do both. I don't think there's any dual players this year. It's the first time in a long time for Carlow now we've had no dual players, but Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you speak about the love of the game, and you do love it. You really enjoy playing, but you could see how someone could take a dislike into it if they're out as often, maybe as you might have been going back 3 or 4 years ago, say, for example.
Oh yeah, for sure. You really have to be in the right mindset to be doing both. I surely couldn't have handled it the last 2 years, so I'm very glad to be just doing the one. Because you wouldn't be long getting burnt out, you're dragged left, right, and centre. You'd be training. I'd say if I was doing dual now, I'd say I'd be training five nights a week, including a match then, if not 2 matches the weekend, so it's that'd be very tough going.
Yeah, I was talking to someone recently who said, and I won't name the county, right? But an underage under 16 ladies squad. It's not Carlow, it's a county in Leinster, prominent enough county, I suppose, in Leinster, if you want to put it that way. And at under 16 level, there was 4 sessions a week, 2 field, 2 gym, wearing GPS units, diet plans, the whole works, like what you'd expect of a senior side. Do you think at under 16 is that possibly excessive, or is that kind of what you might need to be doing now? Is this where we're at? And where does the enjoyment kind of lie in all this? Like,
Oh, Jaylee, I don't know if you keep many under 16s doing that now. I suppose if you're doing group gym sessions, it can be good, especially if you're learning the basics all together, as a group gym, that would be good. But 2 nights a week, and that does definitely seem excessive. And the GPS units and all, is they're very advanced anyway.
yeah, and I suppose
That's a new
some
thing
would
for
say that
us.
that's forward thinking, Rachel, but others would say, Janie, that's a fair ask for someone who, essentially is a kid. And I appreciate that in around that age you can go into the adult setup as you did back at the time. But I mean, Janie, there's serious enough demands though, isn't it? Like for something that's supposed to be fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you do have to remind yourself of that as well, that it is just for fun at the end of the day. Like you're playing, you're nearly thinking of your younger self playing. Like sure, you just played it for fun, and you're just trying to be like that again. Like it's just another game at the end of the day, and we're lucky to be playing. We should be enjoying it. So, I think I'd say under 16. It's a bit serious for under 16, all right.
Yeah, you have a great mindset and approach to it, and you strike me as someone who is quite chill in general. That not really fazed, and I'm here to enjoy it at the end of the day, whether that's like a league semi-final, an Ireland semi-final, a club final, whatever the case may be. I think it's a great mindset to have, and obviously something that you always had.
Don't get me wrong, I still get so nervous at before certain matches, but I wouldn't be hung up on the nerves, say, a week before a match. It'd be kind of just, the hour or two beforehand. So I'm lucky enough in that sense that I know some people do struggle a bit more, but yeah, no, I relax enough about it, but I still definitely care as much as the others about winning and stuff, so I'm lucky enough for that in that sense.
Yeah, and what's it like now, I suppose? Like at 24, you're an experienced player, which sounds a bit bizarre to be saying, but a very experienced player, a leader, and someone that people would look up to. Like, it must be amazing now when you see the likes, I suppose, of Maeve O'Neill, who will come to in a moment after her miraculous rescuing right at the death yesterday, I suppose, that secured promotion. And I know there's a couple of others, well, there's Megan Townsend, there's one other girl, is it Tara?
Caroline's, yeah.
Yeah, so they're all still minors effectively, and you were in those shoes. But what's it like now, just in a matter of years, where hold on now, all of a sudden I'm the experienced person, and they're the young guns, so to speak.
I don't know, it kind of naturally happened. When you're playing every year, you're nearly doing it unknown to yourself. Year after year, you're getting older and older, and you're getting a bit wiser on the pitch. And yeah, no, I don't mind it. I enjoy meeting the new girls and getting to know them, and being a support for them. I do definitely try to look out for them. But yeah, no, it's grand.
And yesterday's game then, right? So I'm led to believe at half time there was possibly a few wides, and you might have actually got disheartened in previous times. Certainly you probably would have got disheartened and maybe heads would have dropped. Didn't seem to be the case. Another setback comes in the second half when you lose your captain to the sin bin, and Fermanagh take a bit of a foothold in the game. But coming down the home stretch, it seemed like you still didn't panic. I mean, you got back to put yourselves in the position where you could get that late goal. What was the mindset, I guess, like at half time, and maybe what was going through your head when you saw Rook going off at the time?
Yeah, it was obviously a massive pity to lose Ruth, and I suppose before that, yeah, in the first half, we had, I know personally, I had two or three wides that I would have backed myself to score, and but other than that, like, the backs had played so well, the midfielders had played so well, and I actually at one stage I heard Barkin Martin shouting in after I hit a wide, and he was like, "But at least just you created the scoring chance," and I was like, "Ah, he's dead right." So we were making the chances, we just didn't convert them. So I suppose at half time, like, we weren't too worried. We knew that the last couple of matches we've been a second half team. We've been, producing good results every second half. So we weren't actually too worried. We were like, just keep doing what we're doing, and the chances will come. And luckily, then after half time, we got 1-2 in quick succession to put us up by 2 points, and then Ruth went off, and the backs did excellent to hold Fermanagh to 4 points while Ruth went off. So by the time she came back on, then we were only down by the two, and yeah, Maeve was in the right place at the right time, and Cliona was so clever to kick the ball in fast to her, and thank God she was well able to stick it in the back of net, which was great.
Did you think it was gone, Rachel?
To be honest, Kevin, I was thinking about it. I was,
Hmm.
but like, you keep fighting, like, you get these thoughts in your head, and you just try to put them out of your head and keep going. And next ball, like, and especially in the full forward line, it's all about the next ball, because you can't get hung up on hitting a wide or missing a ball or getting something intercepted. You just can't. So yeah, no, definitely was trying to think, keep the next ball mindset going.
And what was going through her head then when she did get the goal? Like, what's obviously you're excited, but I guess you're trying to focus for a restart. But I don't think there was a restart, was there?
Yeah, so, well, first I just jumped up and down, but we ran straight back in. We were doing a zone and press, so ran straight back in, try to get everybody in order for the press. And the Fermanagh keeper actually did get a kick out off, but the whistle was blown straight away as soon as the Fermanagh back caught it, so we didn't actually have to press in the end. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
Relief.
it's amazing stuff, and it's some moment for young Maeve, isn't it, as well, like to do
Yeah.
something like that, like still
Yeah.
a kid, you know.
I'm delighted for her, and it does represent, like, how our team is this year, in that and our manager Ed is always enforcing it. Like, it's the subs that come on are so important, and every game we play, we only win it in the last 15 minutes, and that's when the subs are coming on most of the time. So she came in the last 15 minutes and got herself on a good bit of ball, settled herself, and then when the chance came up, she didn't miss. So I'm delighted for her, and it's great to have her on the panel as well, herself and some of the other girls that came on. I think we have four or five new additions to the squad, and they've really pushed it on, so it's brilliant.
Yeah, and of course there is the I'm quote unquoting here now small matter of a league final now to look forward to, eh? Which I think is
Yeah.
on Sunday. Is it Sunday the 7th of April?
The 5th of April, is it? Or is
Is
it the
it the
seventh?
5th? Maybe the
It's
7th is
a
Tuesday.
Saturday. It's a Saturday. This Saturday the 6th, would that be right?
Saturday the 6th it could be. Yeah. It's stuck. It's down. It's definitely that weekend anyway. And I do see that it's getting the TG Cahir YouTube full live coverage as well. So that's fantastic to see. I mean, you know, if it's a case that it can't be on the TV, well, you know, I was on TG Carter's YouTube stream. That's fantastic for everyone to be able to you know, to tune in and to see what you're capable of at the end of the day. Like, I know the last couple of years that they went down the streaming route with ladies football, and not so sure there's as much of it this year. But I mean, this is where we're at now. I mean, we can't get all our games on TV, and the best we can hope for is when we have a stream, be it behind a paywall or be it TG Carter, even better, where we don't have to pay and we can see what she can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It's brilliant to have on YouTube. It's as good as getting it on telly, because anyone who wants to watch it can tune in. And yeah, no, the league streaming this year now, they streamed a couple of Division One and maybe Division Two games. But they didn't have the service they had the last couple of years, where you pay and you get access to all league games. So that was a bit of a pity now, to be honest, because they talk about promoting the game a lot and stuff, and then there's no way for anyone to watch any matches in our division anyway, unless we got to a final. So yeah, I was a bit disappointed with that at the start, but anyway, we're into a final now, and everyone can tune in, which is great.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and the preparation is going to be really, really enjoyable for you as well. Just actually touching on, I suppose, the integration side of things, and over the next couple of years, we're likely to see something in place anyway, possibly. I mean, there is a lot of work to do. And at the minute, with separate entities, be it the Ladies Football Association, be it Camogie, GA, whatever, and talking about the female codes in particular, I mean, we're still seeing a lot of clashes and people being pulled and dragged and strained and different things. Do you think that as separate entities, that those things would have to be sorted out first before any coming together? Or do you think the coming together sorts that stuff out? I mean, it's kind of like what comes first, the chicken or the egg. But when you look at stuff like that happen, you're thinking, right, hold on. Well, we need to make sure that's not happening first. And then when the collective comes together, we might not see as much of this. Have you got any thoughts on that at all?
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I never thought about it like that, but yeah, it definitely something needs to happen. All right. Now we're blessed at home with our club teams that we have fair access to pitches. But when it comes to the county, and I think I don't know the full story, but we do be struggling to get pitches at times. So I'm not sure. I think maybe the integration will help push the sides to make it work. I don't know, will anyone try and make it work before the integration? So we'll definitely be a step in the right direction anyway. I think everybody's in favour of it, from a playing side of point of view anyways. It can only make things less complicated for us.
And is it a case of training wherever you can get a pitch at the minute, or has any venue in particular been kind of forthcoming consistently?
Yeah, we were in Tullow there for a while in St. Anne's, or Brother Leo Park, and we're in the outside pitch now in Carlow. So we're lucky enough we have them sorted, but there was a bit of struggle in the background all right for a while. But thankfully we're sorted for now.
Yeah, and you didn't let it distract you, of course, because look where you are now, you've gotten promoted. And I suppose maybe the management team deserve a bit of credit for just effectively managing, which sounds a bit basic, yeah, as they're kind of meant to do. But at the same time, we've seen different things happen down through the years where, you know, outside noise creeps into the camp via people talking, via pitch availability, all this kind of stuff. And obviously you're kind of privy to that. You can see there's a struggle maybe to get a pitch, but they seem to kind of handle that pretty well and take the pressure off and just let you as players focus on playing, which you're meant to do, like, you know.
Well, for sure, yeah. No, they handle a lot of stuff in the background now that we wouldn't know half of. And even the amount of work Ed Burke does, I don't know how he has time to do anything else. Like, he even does be giving us out our players' tickets and everything. Every weekend you text him, he'll send you on tickets. Like, he does so much stuff. So for sure, like, during that whole pitch thing, I didn't hear much about it all. So I'd say 90% of players hadn't a clue. So definitely it was managed excellent. And it's how our team has been managed this year. Like, we're so lucky with who we have and how it's going. We're delighted, yeah.
Look, as we said at the get-go, you have a lot of years left in you yet. But just touching on the management side of it, I suppose, is it something that you think you might have an interest in time?
Potentially, yeah. I did do a bit of underage coaching there for a while, maybe 2 years ago, but then I couldn't do it all, so I had to step back. But yeah, no, I think I probably will do a bit when I'm older or whatever, but I'd start young now and see how it goes.
Well, sort of thing. And look, just before we finish up, looking across at the Camogie at the minute, I suppose at the weekend, Carroll did show lots of battling qualities. They struggled against Meath in the first half, and then outscored them in the second half. Obviously didn't get the result, but that's obviously a positive sign. We know that there's been things going on behind the scene with a manager kind of departing and stuff like that. But they seem to show a bit of, you know, fighting spirit, battling qualities, all those things at the weekend. And the same with the minor side. I mean, they've had a couple of draws and they went down to Kerry, which is a difficult place to go, and they're competitive. And in previous times, I would have seen, I suppose, not just with Camogie, maybe a bit of Ladies Football too, where Carlow sides maybe aren't even competitive, let alone, you know, talking about wins or all that kind of stuff. And that's very encouraging to see. I mean, obviously, in an ideal world, you'd love to be still playing, but I'm sure you do keep an eye on, just see how they're progressing, yeah?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Jenny, they lost to Meath by 2 points at the weekend, the girls, and that's actually a very good result. Like, Meath were always known for being such a good Camogie side, so I know back a couple of years ago we would have definitely taken that as a good result, so I'm sure the girls are happy with that. And yeah, I think the Miners got stung with a trip to Kerry and a trip up the north the week before, I think. So, but it's great to see them being competitive, and it's definitely very promising. I think the senior team, community team, have one of the best teams they've had in a long time. So I'd love to see them pushing on now and doing well this year.
Yeah. Well, look, hopefully it's onwards and upwards for everyone. You've been very good with your time. I did say 10 minutes. We're at 20. This tends to happen a little bit on the podcast. So I do apologize. But I do appreciate you giving up your time nonetheless. Congratulations again on the promotion and the very best luck indeed, Rachel, in the final in a couple of weeks' time. All right.
Thanks very much, Kevin.
So Carlow Senior Hurlers building up to a massive weekend in terms of the league final. Of course, the Leinster Championship is on the horizon in a couple of weeks' time. A man who's played in a good few of the league finals, I'd say, over his career is Mr. Jack Cavanagh. He joins us here on the podcast. Jack, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you. I think we had you on before after matches and stuff like that, but as regards an actual appearance on the pod, it might be your debut. So it's great to have you on board.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I think it's a first. Yeah, probably mightn't get me again after this year.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. You're moving well. And look, that's probably a good place to start, actually, Jack, because was it a cotton wool job, or were you carrying a little bit there in the early stages of the year in terms of an injury or anything?
Yeah, no, I was I had a couple of niggles going on there, a few little things I had to deal with before I was able to go back and kind of, you know, go ahead for later on. So I kind of had to get them things cleared up, and you know, coming kind of the middle of January there, I kind of got the odd clear to go back. So yeah, I'm back at it now and enjoying it, and you know, nice that the evenings are getting brighter now and the ground is starting to harden up slowly but surely, but. You know, back out, leave me back out now.
Good stuff. And I think you played all the game against Kildare, didn't you?
Yeah, I played the 70 minutes. My first 70 minutes since the county final last year, so I felt every bit of it.
Yeah. And a few minutes before that as well, I think, against Down, didn't you? Did you come on for a few, did you?
Yeah, right as the second goal went in, it went back level. I was like, oh God, I'm going into the metal pot here now. But yeah, I got, I don't know, 15-20 minutes to get down there as well. So yeah, nice to be back involved. You know, I don't really like sitting in the stand, but well, obviously the best 15 on the field at the time. So look, we'll slowly work back toward hopefully maybe getting back into the starting team. And you know, once Carlow are doing well, I don't really mind, you know.
Because I think a lot of lads around your age will be happy enough to kind of maybe sit out the early part of the year and come back in exactly where you've come back into the fall, but it doesn't quite seem like that might be the case from your point of view.
No, like last year, I suppose I kind of had that as well. And I suppose it kind of worked in way last year because, you know, personally, I had a good year with the county last year and I didn't play any league and came back in then. I was very hungry, you know, to hurl and I was just kind of determined to, you know, to kind of get back into the team. And I was just late, you know, to get back involved last year. So, yeah. It's hard to know, like, well, I would rather be in there from early November doing a bit of slogging, though. Like, you know, I do like that side of it too, like, you know, the camaraderie.
Yeah. And I suppose the positioning of yourself at wing back last year, I mean, it's not exactly new to you. I remember going back years ago with the club and all that, you would have played there quite regularly. But you did, like, you hurled a serious year last year. You did really seem to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, I like it back there. You know, like, obviously, my position probably for most of my career would be midfield, but obviously, I haven't got that the legs to get up and down the field as much as I used to. So, at wing back, you know, you can kind of read a game and, you know, you have good lads around you who's talking to you all the time. And, you know, you kind of have to be vocal there in the half back line, you know, because you see what's happening in front of you. And, you know, so, yeah, I really did enjoy it now. And it was a new challenge, you know, because, you know, there were half hour to drop deep and you don't know whether to go or stay. And you kind of have a lot of things to learn. But, you know, by talking to lads, you know, like last year I had Sledge beside me and Kevin McDonald and, you know, like talking to these lads who played there for a number of years, you know, you kind of learn off them and, you know, we can help each other through the games.
Yeah. And it's interesting because from memory, well, I suppose you've heard all over the field, of course, but when you went on to the senior club scene, there was definitely a corner forward, which I suppose where lads tended to start off that time anyway, regardless. I remember Richie Cody was a corner forward at one stage too. But yeah, you've good memories playing in the forward line. Is there a particular preference? Are you just happy to be given a jersey anywhere?
No, like was always midfield for me, you know. I would have grown up looking up to Declan Cavanagh, you know, my uncle Declan, and he always wore the number 8 jersey for St Mullins, so I always wanted to replicate him and wear number 8 for St Mullins. And with Carlow, you know, even when I was playing midfield and had me number 9, I wouldn't be happy, you know. I always wanted number 8, and But you know, midfield for me, but look, I don't mind like anywhere on the field, or even if it's a 10-15 minute cameo, you know, anything can do to help, you know.
That's interesting. I was going to ask you, were you superstitious there when you were talking about the number 8? Because when I was playing with Loughlin years ago, Brian Nolan would never wear number 9. He always thought over to me and he wanted 8. And are you superstitious, or is it just that family kind of connection?
Look, I suppose that, you know, no, it wouldn't be that superstitious, no, but like I would, right, if I play midfield, I kind of make a point to whoever that's doing the numbers or doing the program, like, make sure I'm number 8, you know. I mean, if it wasn't, yeah, you know, I'd get over quick enough, but like, I just, if I saw the letter run past me with number 8 in the back, I'd be, I used to be wearing that one, you know, but not. It wouldn't bother me once across the white line, you know.
Yeah, you don't put on one boot before the other, any of that crack.
Oh, no, not at all. No.
The fact is, you're getting them on at all now playing Draconte this year, because you're happy, you know.
Help me with these days.
Yeah, like, yeah. But in fairness, how do you keep yourself, Jack, the whole year round? Like, that seems to be a constant over the past 20 years or so. That you've been hurling kind of senior club / county, we'll say.
Yeah, so look, Kevin, I always like of the belief that it's easier to stay fit and get fit kind of thing, you know. So I'd always stay tipping away, like even like some years with the club you wouldn't even have a kind of a weeks off, because you know you'd be hurling up into club championship and you might go up to the October and then you might get a week or two off and then you're back in with the county then in November, you know. So but look, like, I'd always be tipping away, like if just small runs or like, tipping away above in the gym or, you know, just stretch and recovery. You know, it's much easier to do that than instead go away for 6 or 8 weeks and then come back and have to start from scratch again, you know. So look, it's a little bit of everything, you know, and it kind of becomes a kind of routine then, more than like a something that you kind of have to do, you know. It's just kind of became a kind of routine over the years.
Yeah. You hear lads doing all kinds of stuff. I know Doyle was fairly big into the CrossFit and just Paul Kelly of all people told me about this show called High Rocks there a couple of weeks ago. And I was saying, are you climbing walls or what the fuck are you doing? Because you wouldn't know that fella is capable of acting. But apparently this is, it's not quite CrossFit, but like lads are doing all kinds of mad stuff. But he reckons that's fierce relative to what you'd be doing in a game kind of situation. And I suppose if you think back to maybe 3-4 years ago, right, whenever we were in lockdowns and all that, people were talking about 5Ks. Like, I think 5Ks are absolutely useless in terms of what they offer from playing GAA. Am I wrong on that?
Well, like I suppose if you're doing 5Ks to prepare for hurling, probably yeah, you are wrong. Like, but like just off season, just doing 5Ks is good for, you know, it's good for everything. You know, it's good for the head and all that. You know, but like even in with county training now, like we wouldn't do any long run and stuff. It'd all be short speed work. You know,
yeah.
It's just replicating the hurling match where you're making a burst for a break, or you know you're running back after that. Like, there's no such thing as, you know, the old school go up and do 3 or 4 laps and then go and play a match. You know, them days are gone, you know.
Long gone. I even hear referees giving out about the tests that they're doing at the minute. That's not fit for purpose. I don't think you're going to become one of them anytime soon, are you?
I wouldn't mind probably hand that, to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind. I let the whistle at home and let the cards at home. That matters.
Yeah. You're after telling enough of them to let the whistle at home, aren't you? Don't you dare sing. Yeah, but look, it's the type of lad you are, though. Like, you're all or nothing. Like, you turn into a different animal when you cross the white lines. And you just want to win. And I mean, they're great characteristics to have. You just, like, what are you like before a game, though? Like, what leads you, I suppose, to be that type of player? Because, you know, we're chatting here now, you're quite calm. You know, you're fairly chill and laid back. And then once that ball is thrown in, like, you just turn into an absolute animal. So how does that process unfold, do you think?
Sure, I don't really know, like, it's kind of the environment you're in, like, you know, like, in the dressing room, like, before games, you know, like, I suppose it would be a vocal one, you know, I'd be talking, and, you know, it's kind of, like, I wasn't doing that when I was 17 years of age, you know, it's just over years, you kind of become one of the people, and some people, like, aren't big motivation talkers, or, you know, like, Paul Ayler, the captain last year, you know, absolute outstanding captain, does talking on the field, but he wouldn't be one to come in and to get everyone in a huddle, and, you know, he just, you know, small things with him were like, I'd be kind of a vocal one in the dressing room. You have other lads as well, like, you know, I'd be talking. And look, everyone has different characteristics, and I suppose that's just one of my ones. I'm comfortable talking, you know, and it kind of just rolls off the tongue, like, and like, I wouldn't, like, yeah, I was even doing for my brother last year a best man speech, and I wasn't even going to write anything down, I was going to let it go, but sure, then he kind of warned me, you know, definitely prepared, like, you know, so I had to kind of put it down in kind of bullet points in the phone, and, you know, but, yeah, look, I suppose it's just one of these things that I have and I'm comfortable doing, so.
And on the pitch, Jack, like, you're fearless. Do you have any fear before a game?
No, not really. Like, you know, obviously sometimes when I was younger, I always feared losing. you know, and I'd kind of feared, like, I'd be thinking of the scenario, kind of thinking of the game, and then, like, the difference between, you know, after the county final whistle, if you win or if you lose. And I all kind of brought that fear onto the pitch, but now I've learned to let that go, you know. You just, you know, you can't control them things, so you go out and you give it 110%, and if you're good enough in the day, you're good enough. If not, then you just dust yourself off and you go again the next year, you know. It's like, you know, it's played in like 12 county finals, won 6, lost 6, and, you know, some lads played, might have played in no county finals, you know. So, you know, you'd love to win them all, of course, but, like, you know, you can't, some lads don't win any, you know, and so I'm kind of lucky to have one while I have one. And
something that's kind of just struck me, right? Yourself and cousin James, you're quite similar with your demeanor. You're quite similar, you know, on the field of play. You'll do anything to win. But I'm struggling to find many memories where you kind of came into direct line opposition in terms of marking each other or anything like that. Like, I'm just looking at two bulls in a field here that, like, there would definitely be a clash with. Was there ever anything like that down through the years that you can recall?
With James Hickey?
Yeah, because, like, you're very similar. Like, obviously you're related, but your outlook is quite similar. You'll both do anything to win. You both, you know, you'll play close to the line. I'm struggling to think of any examples of when you might have clashed or even come up against each other in direct line opponent terms. You know what I mean, Jack?
Yeah, 2010 now. It's county final 2010 now. We would have lined down midfield against each other. But myself and John Farmer from St. Mullins, another bull. And James Hickey and Derek Byrne, you know, the four of us would have went that in 2010, like, you know, at midfield, you know. But no, we never ran anything, you know. If you're on the field, like, you know, like, I'd kill him and he'd kill me, you know, but then we shake hands off the field. You know, that's just the way I am, like, you know. I could say or do anything on the field, but, like, once the whistle goes, it's the end of it, I shake your hand and I go for a pint, like, you know. I wouldn't carry anything off the field, you know.
Yeah, I got you. And I suppose there was a lot of times where, when you look at James's career, maybe there wouldn't have been many occasions where you'd both be playing centre field, kind of a thing. Because I know he slipped into wing back and, you know, you might have moved around a little bit. So the amount of times that I suppose you would have come up against each other in direct line opposition were probably minimal. And that's maybe why, maybe it was a good thing, Jack. Who knows, right? But that day in particular, that was the 10-10-10 day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's some day to win a final, of course. And look, I won't delve into it too much because we'll get you for another chat at some particular point. But we're here to talk about the league final and where Carlo are at the present time. I did mention at the get-go that you would have probably played in a good few of these finals. Some have been kind, some haven't. A lot of them, I think most of them, in fact, might have been against Westmead, an odd one against Antrim. I don't think there was ever one against Laois. No. What way are you sizing up this one?
Ah, sure. Look, Kevin, I suppose, like, when we sat down at the start of the year to, you know, kind of set our goals for the year, like, promotion out of this division was number one. You know, like, it's probably the only chance, being realistic, of winning silverware this year is if we beat Laois in the league final, because we went to a Leinster Championship proper. You know, like, realistically talking, are we going to be winning a Leinster Championship? Probably not. Our aim there would probably be to stay up. But, look, we gained promotion with a game to spare, which is great. We're in the league final now. Do we want to win it? Of course we do. Is it to be all in all? If we don't win it, no, because we have promotion. But look, we'll be going out to win that match, you know. So look, we're preparing well for it, same as any other game, you know. And you know, we've had a couple of weeks now to prepare for it. At least we're hurting down last weekend, had a savage performance and a good win. So I'm sure they'll be coming all guns blazing to win it too, like, you know, because we, after us beating them up there in the third round of the league, so. Look, we're looking forward to the challenge now. It'll be a big challenge. Great to have the home in Carlo now, but Laois don't mind travelling to Carlo. We've played there many times over the years and they've often got our number there. So looking forward to it now on Sunday.
Would you consider them rivals, Jack?
I suppose you would, like, you know, between, like, throughout my career, I suppose, like, Laois, Westmead, Antrim, probably three teams that you would have played in these kind of league finals. And it would have been Joe McDonough finals, like, you, I suppose, like, there always would be that little bit of rivalry there, I suppose. You would have been playing them for silverware the most over the years. So I suppose I would, like, you know, like, we'd be close neighbours there as well, like, you know. But it'd be rivalry, but there'd be no animosity there between us, like.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to carry that same weight as the footballing one. You know what I mean?
Not at all, no.
Yeah, and like, you'd probably consider, like, when you get to have a crack at Wexford. I know I had the mouse on a few weeks ago. You know, he's really looking forward to that one. Is that the one that stands out for you when it comes to Leinster games?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, so we're just down here, we're nestling in the corner here between Kilkenny and Wexford, like, you know, so Like, we drive 5 minutes down the road, we're in Wexford, you know, and a lot of the lads here in St. Mullins would have went to school in Wexford on good council, so there would have been a lot of kind of slagging back and forth over the years. But look, the Wexford one in the Leinster Championship is the one we want, because they're we always need to play them down there, and we haven't played them in Carlow in a long time. So it would be nice to get them up there, up in Carlow, and yeah, really looking forward to that one. We're looking forward to them all, of course, but so with the Wexford home, that would be one now that we really should be a good crowd there and a good atmosphere, and you know, I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. Not to be dragging you into anything, I suppose, but when you see the Division 3 and 4 finals in Croke Park in football in terms, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything, I mean, the competition outlay stated that the top team was going to have home advantage, but would there be, like, are you happy to have it in Dr. Cullen, or would you like the day out in Croke Park? You know what I mean, though, when I say that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course. I know what you're saying, but no, we're delighted that's in Carlow. Like, we really didn't want it to be in Croke Park. You know, if Croke Park, you have a couple of thousand there, there's no atmosphere, it's dead. You know, obviously there's probably a few lads in the panel that haven't been to Croke Park, would have loved to have them in Croke Park, but no, we heard it might be in Croke Park. We were like, geez, we didn't really want it in Croke Park. You know, even we thought it might be in the place Nolan Park or, you know, somewhere like that. But look, the fact that we found out that it was a home in Carlow, like, we were ecstatic with that, you know, and hopefully now next Sunday that everyone around Carlow will come out and they'll come in and support us, and, you know, hopefully might be able to claim a bit of silverware.
Yeah, well, look, Jack, we'll leave it at that, because, you know, as I said, we do have a good bit that we could talk about. And, you know, I'd say there's a few years left in yet in the county jersey. Whenever the time comes, we'll definitely rope you in for one of those feature length interviews. There's definitely stories to tell. But look, for now, I just want to say thanks for coming on with us, and the very best luck this weekend. Hope you get the result all right.
Yeah, thanks very much, Kevin. Appreciate having me on, and best luck with the podcast. It's doing great stuff there.